Welcome to this CIPR podcast brought to you by Lansons. Now, AI, artificial intelligence, is transforming the workplace. But what does it mean to implement and work with AI in PR, in public relations? And what are the practical and ethical issues involved? I'm John Cronin, Head of Content and Broadcast at Lansons, and I'm joined by Kerry Sheehan, who's from the CIPR AI in PR panel. By Jim Rowe, who is a chatbox expert, the chatbot guy, I think you're known as, Jim, and by Paul Miller, who's head of digital at Vulio. Welcome to you all. Just to get to the crux of it first, I'll come to you, Kerry. AI, PR, how do these two edifices, how do they work together?
So I'm part of the CIPR AI and PR panel, and the reason we're looking into the implications of AI in the PR communications and marketing world is to see what the threats, but also what the opportunities are for us as practitioners out there. It's no secret. It's AI is here. It's not a vision. We need to work with it. We're probably all aware that we work with a high level of automation day in, day out. But what does that mean for us going forward? You know, as my colleagues here, Paul and Jim, have been talking about chatbots, more and more brands, organisations, even sleepy councils in the back of beyond talking about putting bots in for that frontline customer service. How do we as PR professionals, communications experts, work with the bots to ensure that we are PRing them, we're brand ambassadors, tone of voice, all those kind of things that traditionally we would probably do through visuals, print, videos, etc. So this is quite an exciting discussion to have, because not only do we need to know how they work on the technical side so that we've got that education and we can advise, you know, is it the right thing for orgs, companies to do, but also so we can obviously have our role in it as well.
And just to be absolutely clear, when we're talking about the way that artificial intelligence works in PR, we're talking about how we advise clients as part of their PR campaign in using artificial intelligence, not the way that we might use it as PR practitioners with clients.
Absolutely, because, you know, I'm a very strong advocate that actually for PR to be a strategic management function, we need to have a role in coming up with those solutions to the issues, the problems, new ways of reaching people, communicating with people. And part of that is having this education about all the automated tools and chatbots that are out there so that we are fully prepared to advise.
Now, Paul, what do you make of this? What kind of impact is it having from your perspective at Vulio?
Well, I think that the PR industry is generally a lot better than it gives itself credit for in dealing with these new tools, with automated solutions, with AI. And I'm sure the same will apply as chatbots become increasingly mainstream. I think recently, CIPR with Stephen Wallington, he published a large list of AI tools that were, you know, that people could use in the workplace. It was like 150 or so pieces of software on there, most of which were pretty familiar. And I'm sure a lot of people are using them and not really thinking them AI solutions at all. They're maybe just regarding them as part of their day-to-day workflow. But of course, you know, this is anything that, which is substituting for human intelligence in that way.
They don't even realise that they're using AI.
I think the vast majority of PRs are using some kind of AI right now.
As adopters within the industry, are we very good in the PR industry adopting new technology like artificial intelligence, or are we coming to it quite late?
I'd say it depends what you're comparing it to. I mean, quite clearly, if you're comparing it to, you know, the startup culture of Silicon Valley, then, you know, everyone's kind of getting there late. On the other hand, I'd say that communications professionals in general, sometimes led by marketing, but often led by PRs as well, in exactly the same way, using in particularly these kind of social media tools, they've been the real key driver, certainly over the past sort of 5-6 years of uptake of artificial intelligence. But as I say, I'm not sure that the majority of PRs who are using these tools are thinking of them as being AI tools. I'm not sure that people who are using a media database or any kind of monitoring tool or any kind of tool that pulls all this data together and presents that with a new layer of intelligence on top of it. And people aren't necessarily thinking of these as being AI as such, but of course that's exactly what they are.
Now, an example of AI in action that we've already referenced here are chatbots. Now, Jim, you are an expert in this field, as we've already said, you're known as the chatbot guy. Talk us through it. What do we mean when we talk about chatbots? Are we simply talking about artificial intelligence used to deal on the front line with customers?
So I tend to deal with the kind of consumer end of the chatbot market. And the way I look at it is kind of three types of chatbot. You've got the level one chatbot, which is very basic, decision tree based, button based, simple questions, simple answers. Level two will have a little bit of AI in there, looking at answers, sorting data, and a bit of integration. And then level three will be something like Booking.com's chatbot, which is able to understand intent from several conversations ago and hold that data about that customer and then bring it forward again. So if I was looking for a hotel within a mile of here and I wanted a gym and a pool, it would remember that. So when I went to search next time, it would already pre-filter the results as a chatbot. So there are different levels of it. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think most people don't even know they're using those tools at the moment.
And how sophisticated? You talk about those three different levels. Obviously, the third level, the most sophisticated. But how sophisticated is that? Are we talking about artificial intelligence that really can decipher more complicated, more conceptual questions that may come their way?
The more you use them, the more you realise they're still quite basic. The technology is moving at a pace. And, you know, I think the next 5 to 7 years are going to be really exciting in the world of AI across every sector you can even imagine, and many you can't. I just think that at the moment we keep coming up against barriers in terms of AI and how clever it can be. But, you know, we're feeding lots of data as bot creators. We're giving the bot software companies lots of data, and that will help them get cleverer.
Now, you are somebody that deals in this space and has created chatbots for a number of different organisations. Talk us through that. How do you actually go about it?
So there's a lot of misinformation at the moment. So people come with lots of unhinged ideas about what they can do with their chatbot, and you have to really manage expectations. They want to do everything in one go. So they want the full natural language processing, natural language understanding, super duper bot from day one, not realizing they've got no conversational data yet. They don't really understand what's going to be asked. And interestingly, because chatbots are so new, every time you put one out, everybody hits it hard with test questions. We saw it with Victoria Beckham's chatbot recently. That was a bit of a PR nightmare, I think. And people just want to go and test it and see what it's all about and predominantly try and break the chatbot.
And of course, Alexa is perhaps the most famous of all the chatbots that would be instantly recognisable by most people. When we think about the implications and some of the risks that come with it, of course, there are reputational risks as well, issues around the ethics, information gathering, which I think you're already suggesting there, Jim. What does that mean for PRs, though? We're here to enhance and protect the reputation of clients. If we're suggesting that they use AI, is there actually a risk that we're suggesting to the very people that we're supposed to be protecting? What do you make of that, Kerry?
Absolutely. It's a question that can't be answered simply or overnight. It's going to take a long, long time to actually work it through.
Give it a quick go on this.
But some of the things that we should be thinking about, you know, should we have disclaimers on websites, on products or whatever it is? This was, you know, with a bot versus a human. Should we have those, you know, out there, bang, straight up? The other thing is obviously as data guardians, where we're getting the data from, who's that being passed to? Do people know that when they speak to Alexa, that data's being mined and that's being sent back to a human? There's no disclaimer on the Amazon Alexa box. It's probably hidden somewhere, but there isn't. So there is a huge ethical dilemma that we're facing. We're seeing lots of committees set up to kind of look through the key questions and things, but we're not there yet.
I think, Kerry, it's a fantastic opportunity for PR as well, because I think, you know, if you look at the key skills for the PR that simply cannot be replaced by a machine, you know, I think providing some kind of ethical and moral guidance would be key among them. So, you know, helping people to learn how to use these things in a responsible manner, how to then sort of use the data that they're mining in a responsible manner, how to communicate what they're doing with that data with the users at the other end. These are all great opportunities.
Absolutely.
For people.
And
the risk is there, isn't it? Because we look at stories that link to information mining by Amazon from Alexa. Not so very long ago, Samsung, with its clever televisions, getting into trouble because they were listening into conversations in the living room and choosing what was a program that you might want to watch or to listen to. So there are very real issues there. Do we need to be better trained as PR practitioners so that we can advise better when we're talking to clients?
Absolutely. And this is, you know, obviously what these discussions are about. We can't stay as we are. We need to diversify our skills and we need to keep discussing and talking about these things. So absolutely.
Jim, when you're setting up and working with clients looking into and interested in chatbots, what are the ethical issues that you've come up against? Have you had to deal with anything in particular yourself?
So there's two obvious ones. The first one is, do you let the chatbot users know that they're not talking to a human? Predominantly is a yes, but I wouldn't say that was 100% of the time. You know, some of the surveys that have been around is people don't really care on the whole, as long as the issue that they're trying to solve is solved. But when things go wrong, then they get upset that it's not a human they're talking to. And the other one is data, what data to collect, which is, you know, it's ethical. And when customers say to me, oh, well, I want that data collected and that data collected, my question is, why do you need that now? It's always, why do you need that now? Why do you need to take a phone number? Why do you need to take an email within the chatbot? It's no value, or we might need it later. You're not collecting it. So you've got to be quite firm about what they're doing with the data. And as people go through chatbots, you're applying little data tags to them, depending on choices they make. And it always, do we really need that tag? Is it relevant? You know, if somebody hasn't spoken to a chatbot for 60 days, should we really still have their data on there? So there's a lot of conversations going around. I think GDPR has helped. I think it's very much, people are more mindful of what they're doing with the data.
So, Paul, when you look at the future for AI, for the likes of chatbot technology, but more broadly, artificial intelligence in PR, where do you see it going? How do you see it developing? How can we control it?
It's, is it a question of control, or is it a question of sort of that this technology is sort of PR's best friend to a certain extent? You have a, as I say, you know, there are opportunities around ethics, but there are also, look, a lot of this stuff, in fact, almost all of the successful AI, it kind of works through brute force. It's about volumes of data and being able to mine that data. Obviously, computers are very, very good at that. What they're not good at, what they really can't do at all, is, you know, they don't have the ability to think conceptually or metaphorically or creatively, essentially.
But isn't that what we're told is going to eventually change as artificial intelligence develops and teaches itself to learn?
Well, quite possibly, but we, you know, we were told this in the 50s and we were told this in the 60s and we were told it again in the 90s. And, you know, I think the lessons, when you look at AI, the lessons of chess are really, really informative. I think when people first started looking at, you know, when would the machine beat the human at chess? I think the idea was actually as the machine came to think more like a human, then it would be able to beat them. And in fact, that's not what happened at all. It's simply about it is about brute force. It's about the amount of processing power that you bring to the task. It's about looking at every single permutation out there and then selecting from them. And chatbots are working in much the same way. This is how it's analyzing text, it's analyzing the relationship between entities, and then it has essentially managed to make a sort of probabilistic assessment of the best response in that circumstance. It's able to do this because it's going through vast volumes of data, but this is a very, very different thing to conceptual thought.
Kerry, you wanted to pick up on that?
But then for me, the whole premise of having to diversify our skills, because the direction of travel with the tech world, AI is not a vision, it is here. It's only going to get bigger. As PR marketeers, communication professionals, we need to know how this stuff works. We need to have a foot in the data world, in the tech world, as well as the creative and the sentiment world. I mean, that can only sort of help us not only safeguard our roles going forward, but for us to be on the front foot and have a really big say in it.
So crystal ball time for each of you now as we come to a close. Where do you see this technology taking us? It's clearly going to change the PR landscape that we're in. And change the way that we communicate and deal with and advise our clients. But coming to you, Jim, first, how do you think chatbots will evolve and change the way we work in PR?
So I think the growth of chatbots over the next 3 to 5 years will be huge. I think AI as a whole will be huge. I think we'll have some really bad experiences in the next couple of years. I think it'll end up in Parliament. I think the whole ethics area is going to get, you know, I could see almost like a world ethics committee.
So
about
just scratching the surface.
Yeah, I think we're a long way from where it's going to be. I think it, because AI, you know, doesn't, there are no borders to AI. And I think it's going to have to be something that's driven at UN level or sort of some kind of world level, because it's got to be controlled, because we can see how media is manipulated now. You put that in the hands of AI, and I dread to think where the future could go if it's not controlled.
So, Paul, quite a threatening image there of potentially how it might go. Is that really where we want to take our clients?
I mean, it's obviously not where we want to take our clients, but I think it's where it's where sort of PR in general is going to have to be very, very mindful of what's happening. I think that's absolutely right. I think when you've the opportunity that chatbots, that AI in general presents, and indeed that ability to sort of mimic humans, yeah, it might be based, as I say, on brute force analysis of data, but it's increasingly convincing, it's increasingly compelling. And I think that's the management of that, the way that people in the past have managed rapidly developing technology from a top-down level, well, I mean, that does not bode too well.
And finally, to you, Kerry, artificial intelligence, when it comes to PR, friend or foe?
Friend. Could be foe. More likely to be friend. As I say, I keep banging on about it's here, it's not going away. We just need to know the ins and outs of how it works. We need to advocate doing what is ethically and morally right, and we'll see where it goes from there. But there is absolutely no harm in all the PRs, all the communications professionals out there really getting their head around not only the tech speak, but what it takes to build these things, how can we engage with people with these things, etc. Because what the current thinking is from some CIPR analyses, where we benchmark the level of automated tools out there to the skill sets of people in the industry at the moment, was potentially anything between 15 to 40% of jobs may go in the future. We don't know when, we don't know how, because obviously a lot of the so-called boring, mundane tasks at the bottom end, the junior roles, the reporting, could be passed over to a bot, an automated tool. That would feed up towards the chain. So I think, again, I've said it many times, it's about us diversifying, learning how to work with it, and actually giving AI better PR in itself.
Paul, did you want to come in there at the very end?
I thought that was just a fantastic summary. That's all I say. Sorry about that.
Well, listen, thank you all very much indeed for joining me on this podcast. To Kerry Sheehan, to Paul Miller, and to Jim Rowe, thank you all very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.